don't know if you've noticed it or not, but it is becoming more and more fashionable to persecute Christians, demean them, belittle them, and discount them, and prevent them from doing what they love to do, worship God. Well, today on Abounding Grace Radio, we'll take some time today and talk about the Christian and persecution. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio. Pastor Chris Gordon will spend some time with us in studio today. We would invite you to join us. As we begin today's program, we'd ask you to send in any questions you might have for Pastor Chris. Simply open up your smartphone, access the Voice Memo app, record your question, your name, and where you're calling from. And then email that audio file to questions@agradio.org. If we use your question on the air, we'll email you back and let you know when it airs. Right now, let's catch up with Pastor Chris as we take a look at persecution and the American Christian on Abounding Grace Radio. Well, Chris, we are back again in studio, and today I want to pick up a bit from where we left off yesterday. Now, we were spending an awful lot of time on politics and the Christian. And really, at the end of the day, it is a challenging notion to be able to properly live out our lives as Christians and also be political in nature. We dealt with that fairly decently, I believe, and it got me thinking about another issue that can be somewhat tagged along with this, and that is persecution in the American Christian. We see more and more an antagonistic approach to Christianity and from the political realm or sphere, as it were, and it can be challenging at times. I know our friends in Africa, they suffer persecution constantly. And so today, if we could, I'd like to spend some time looking at persecution and the Christian. And is it a good thing, a bad thing? Are we missing out when we try to avoid persecution? And what does Scripture have to say about it all?
Yeah, that's a good question. Listen, I'm not anyone who wants persecution. No one wants persecution. Yeah, I want to see a society that maintains. I mean, we've lived in a remarkable place in time, remarkable country that has afforded us freedoms to practice what we believe without hindrance from the government. What a blessing. But that is somewhat rare throughout history. Persecution has always happened in the church. The book of Revelation describes that we are a martyr people. So one of the things that the reality is we have enjoyed such peace and such prosperity, it's really hard for us to think of anything different. That's what I think makes the thought of impending persecution so scary for us. We haven't lived it. We don't know it. We really haven't, like people in other countries who have actually died for their faith. We're living in one of the most martyred times ever of Christians around the world. And I think what we see happening now is that, look, times are changing. The culture's changing. This is a post-Christian culture. You know, this is not 1950 America, where even if you didn't go to church, everyone still accepted, you know, or even believed that, hey, the Bible may be true. I'm not going to submit my life to it. But today, the whole thing is becoming ridiculed in our country. So it's hard for us to know how to process this. It's hard for us to know, and so Christians in panic obviously are doing everything they can to keep what it is, and I don't blame them. I want to raise our families. We want to do that in such a way that they're going to be kept free from being threatened for believing in Christ. I mean, this is crazy that this is happening here and now, and we could see it's coming. But that said, the church has always flourish the most in times of persecution. Isn't that interesting, Andy?
It really is. And I guess that goes to what we're talking about today.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we think that if everything's going well, if, you know, we're making lots of money and the laws are all good and order and everything's calm and everything just going well in life, that we're going to flourish in our Christianity. The reality is that that's when we become fat and lazy. In our Christianity, we don't have to stand for anything. We don't have to believe anything. It's just a Christianity, by and large, in this country has been for many people a social club. It's been a matter of convenience. This is what scares me, is that when the persecutions come, we may see, and I think we're starting to see it, mass exodus out of the churches. And that's happening right now because they've not been grounded firmly in the truth as it is in Jesus. But we've been, listen, this has been a show in Christianity in this country for too long. This has been entertainment time. This has not been the preaching of the cross. Well, I had a dear mentor years ago named John Rainbow, and he came up and said, "Let a little persecution come, and you will see the church flourish again." And of course, I don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that, right? That's the thing we don't want to hear. But the reality is that this has been proven throughout history, and the Lord gives a special measure of his Holy Spirit in times of persecution so that the gospel flourishes. And I've always said, if we could maintain in times of peace and prosperity, you know, the gospel with such vigor and energy, what a testimony that would be. But that's difficult. Many nations look at us, many Christians around the world in poverty look at us full of, you know, plenty and full of all this and that and think, how do you even do your Christianity when you have that much distraction? Fair enough. Helpful point. That is absolutely true. But I think we have to remember Jesus's words, getting to your question here. Think about what Jesus says in John 15. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now, didn't Jesus just say there that there's really no middle ground? The reality is the world hates you, Andy.
Yes.
The world hates me. If I am identified with Jesus, there is a separation that is de facto automatically made by me being aligned with Jesus. The world and its system of darkness stands in opposition to Christ and his kingdom. So if you're going to identify with Jesus, then you've got to know up front, you will be hated. If you're not hated and you're never disliked by the world and the world is never bothered with you and the people of darkness are never agitated by your stances, guess what? You're not looking like Jesus. So that's a really important thing I think we have to think about. This is, and by the way, this is exactly when Jesus told the parable of the sower, that many people come to Christianity, and when that seed lands in the stony places, it springs up quick. But remember what Jesus said? When tribulation comes and persecution because of the word, many people are out. They haven't understood this, what Jesus is describing in John 15. Our identification with him and his identification with us automatically brings this hatred. So Jesus goes on, you know, to say that here. All these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, then they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for sin. So there's the issue. It's the fact that we have a very strong stance on sin and what is moral and what is right, and the world hates that. And that's what he says. Whoever hates me hates my Father also.
Here's a question then, Chris. As we live out our lives here in a really rich and blessed society that's relative ease, if you will, does our life as Christians, by and large, minus or absent of persecution, tend to show the dead and dying world out there in America a cheap option rather than a robust refuge? In other words, if persecution really starts showing up, will the gospel of Christ have deeper meaning as people look on and see us thrive through that persecution, as opposed to no persecution at all, and we're just kind of going about our merry way?
Well, that's exactly right, Andy. What are we standing for? You know, this is what I said a moment ago. You know, if you look at worship and what it's become, worship is not about, you know, the problem of our sin today, that we've offended a holy God and that we need a savior. These categories, by and large, are thrown out. Look at the most prosperous church in America with Joel Osteen's church. All these categories are abandoned. And all it is about is, having your best life now. Well, yeah, that is your best life now, because it is all about temporary gain in this life and not about the gospel that announces that you need to be saved from the wrath to come and deny yourself and come to Jesus. There's no denial in the American gospel. There's no denial in the American church. It is eat, drink, and be merry. This is exactly the problem, is that people look at Christianity as just a fix today for temporary problems. But again, the cure is only as radical as the disease. So what is our problem, right? Is my problem just a bad marriage? Is my problem I'm not, you know, managing my finances enough? This is why most sermons are just 10 steps to this and 10 steps to that. It's not the gospel. That's not saving anyone. And so it's no wonder then that if that's going to be the choice of the American church, it's no wonder that at some point the Lord's going to turn that all upside down and bring persecution. We need it. I hate to say it. But if that's what has happened, and that is what has happened, this is what we're going to see happen in Christianity today. The world's going to turn on us in a way. And the surprising, and this is what happened in Israel's history, the surprising thing that will happen then is you're going to see out of this all of a sudden truly committed Christians who are holding tight to the gospel and Jesus as a savior from our sins, not just a moral redeemer. And that's a big difference.
So then one of the things, if I hear you correctly, that persecution does is it brings us to the end of our self-sufficiency and demands that we rely upon a holy God all the more. And that should have a visible view or a visible look to a dead and dying world around us, right?
Yeah, it's going to have a massive purging effect. But we know this just generally in life, Andy. I mean, when are you praying most? You can answer that question. And I can answer that question. You know, when are we praying most, Andy?
When we are in need.
And when something distressing has come upon us, that is us. It's sad, isn't it, that I'm not often in prayer when everything's going well, but that when all of a sudden something traumatic has happened, somebody gets cancer, or somebody dies, all of a sudden we feel the weight of all this. All of a sudden now we're crying out to the Lord for help. Well, look at that in large terms in the church today, you know. On a large scale, in light of the changing and shifting culture, what I hope is happening now is that Christians are realizing, you know, we need to take more serious our mission here, and we need to think a lot more about our purpose, and what are we trying to accomplish in this life ourselves? Are we just trying to fulfill the American dream? Are we just trying to obtain riches and happiness and live without any conflict and live with our own people and sheltered from all that's going on in the world? Well, that's not Christianity. That's never been Christianity. So you know, let somebody come at us, and I don't want this. You know, I don't want anyone to face persecution. That's the hard thing. You know, I still pray for that we will respond well in the midst of all this, and the Lord will stop all this madness in our day. But, you know, that being said, if it does happen, and it's happening in China right now to Christians, happening all over the world, I trust that it will have a purging effect and that you will see true Christianity shine in the midst of this in a way that actually is genuine. All of the chaff will be blown away.
I've got two verses that roll through my mind that I'll let you close our program out with in the next 10 minutes here. I'll let you address them both. My first one is Paul, where he says, I fill up in my flesh what remains of the suffering of Christ for the sake of the church. That would seem a bit more pastoral. And I'm thinking that should show up in the congregation in a way that spurs them on to then more embrace what James was saying right there at the beginning. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. And I love the J.B. Phillips translation of that one. Welcome trials as a dear friend. With those two in mind, close us out today on this idea of persecution, the blessings that can come from it if we do understand what Christ is saying and what the authors of Scripture are saying. And how do we, I know, I'm with you. I don't want to go seek this stuff out, but At the same time, I can't help but wonder, Chris, if I'm missing out on some kind of growth and deeper walk with Christ by sidestepping persecution as opposed to just embracing it.
Right. So there's so much to say, you know, the counting it all joy when various trials and persecutions come, those sort of things. That's a difficult thing to do. I don't think that naturally we can do that. I think there's something that happens in the midst of these things that the Lord does for us. That's really important. I don't know anyone, you know, whoever, you know, was martyred for their faith that, you know, we look at martyrs and say, I just don't think I could go through that. And my answer is you can't. You can't. It's really important to remember that. You can't. You will do what Peter did. You will deny your Lord three times. So remember that. You don't have the strength to uphold yourself through whatever is to come. But that's the soil the Lord loves to work on. Think of Paul. Think of Paul for a minute. You know, he gets this thorn in the flesh. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. So I'm crying. Lord, it's a deep plea. Take it away, take it away, take it away. And we've never been told what that thorn is. You know, I think the wisdom of that is to say, listen, you could fill in the blank here. There's many thorns in the flesh. It could have been persecution. It could have been some sickness. It could have been some great affliction in his life. We don't know. So fill in the blank. What happened with Paul? He prayed to the Lord to take it away. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, one of the, you know, obviously great apostle to the Gentiles, taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And the Lord did not relieve him. He had enough stress and pressure in his life, right? The Lord did not relieve him of this thorn in the flesh. But what was his answer? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, human weakness. So what he's saying there is something happens when your human weakness is manifest. My power begins to shine. And then Paul goes on to say there, okay, well, then I'll boast. It's like a change of heart right away. I'll boast in afflictions and infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions, he says, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. There it is. When we're facing these things, true strength is shown, but it's not ours. It's Christ. It's what Paul said. And, you know, Paul knew he was going to die soon. And he wrote to the Philippians saying, listen, whether I live or die, let Christ be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. My life is meant to be put under a microscope so that people see Jesus. So that when our weakness comes, when persecutions, when anything comes that is distressing in life, this is when that power is shown. That's the principle we have to work with. I'm not glorying in that suffering as something wonderful. Don't get me wrong here. It's probably a very hard thing that people have to deal with. I don't wish Job's scenario on anyone, but I know this, that if God has that for somebody, then I know that his light is going to shine in them. And that's the goal and purpose for which he left us here.
When those persecutions and sufferings do take place, maybe this is another whole program. I think our culture and most churches today in America have kind of circled the wagons around this notion that, oh, when it does come, it's, oh, God doesn't want this for you. Either that or you're in sin. And that's why it's happening. We don't go to those verses anymore, do we? Where, you know, Christ is made strong in our weakness. That seems foreign.
Yeah, that's great, Andy. I'm so glad you raised that. This has been the lie of a false gospel in this land, that if you come to Jesus, everything will get great, and he's going to fix all your financial woes, and you're going to get well, and, you know, name it, claim it stuff. We may not hold it like some of the old people have held it on TBN, but it's all ingrained within us. And this is what people think Christianity is all about. And it is an absolute lie. I've got news for you. If you come to Jesus, life's going to get harder. But here's the good thing. you will see his power rest upon you in ways like you've never seen before. But you see how distressing that other message is? Is that if this is about me, you know, coming to Jesus and this pastor who's been rich and, you know, lived and flown around his own jets and told everyone that's what Christianity is, and then you get sick, you know, and you don't get well, and he says you need to have more faith, how distressing. What a crisis of faith that these guys bring on people. You know, what about if I have strong faith and I still have affliction and sorrow and hardship? Because that's what Jesus said I would have, you see? And that's important for us to remember. That lie is out of the pit of hell. You know, Satan wants you to have your best life now. But the reality is we're not in heaven yet. We're not resurrected yet. And part of it is that we're showing the life of Christ in us. Think of what is said in the scriptures. After you've suffered a little while, may Christ then perfect, strengthen, and establish you. That's the pattern. It's suffering, then glory. And we have to remember that. Through much tribulation, said Jesus, you will enter the kingdom. But you don't have to be discouraged. Don't worry. I've overcome the world, says Jesus. In principle, it's already defeated.
In essence, then, clarify for me, what you're saying is your best life now is Satan's goal, because if you're focused on now, you've lost your focus on then, which tends to make you a very weak Christian at best, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the pursuit of the world and the gain of the world is Satan's goal for you. And the Lord is telling us very clearly that in Christianity, you know, we have a place that is not of this world prepared for us. And obviously there's a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness shall dwell. But my point is that the Lord is training us right now. And this is a universal principle all throughout the ages for God's people: suffering, then glory. And look at the lives of all of God's people. It's never been you're not sliding into heaven on a couch. It's like, that's not this life. But, you know, that's okay, because the Lord is the one upholding you the whole way through. And wouldn't you rather be that way? Do you want to try to live it with all of its glory now in your own strength? Or would you rather face the sufferings of Christ in you, which is the hope of glory, showing Christ in you now? And what it's telling people about what matters the most. The reality is that if we don't have these trials, tribulations, afflictions, sufferings, we're never going to really long for what is to come. And, you know, that's what the Lord is training us in. We're a forward moving people. We don't look back, and I don't want to live in this world forever. I'm only here for the purpose God left me here, that you're only here for the purpose God left you here. But we're not here to build our kingdom in this life. We are dying. That's the reality. The resurrection Christ has promised us when he comes in glory. Isn't that wonderful?
Well, it is wonderful. Light and momentary afflictions. And really, they are light and momentary once you put them up against the eternal weight of glory. You're listening to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Closing out today's program, I'd remind you that you can contact us at agradio.org. Also find other platforms there as well. Nice little jump offs to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Again, available at agradio.org. You'll be able to tap into previous programs as well as find out where AG Radio is playing in your neck of the woods. Again, agradio.org. Or if you wish, use the phone, 888-504-8805. By the way, if you find the broadcast helpful, encouraging you in the Lord, maybe there's something that Pastor Chris has said today that really stuck in your mind, something that, like most of us, you'll actually use with somebody else in a day or two. We would love to hear from you. If you feel that this program is helpful to you, we would ask you to redirect some of your financial resources to fund Abounding Grace, as this is a listener-supported ministry, which means we're on this specific radio station simply because you've come alongside of us financially and, even more importantly, prayerfully, to make sure that this radio program continues right here on this station at this time. So consider that as you get a hold of us, again at 888-504-8805 or agradio.org. And bear in mind that any financial resource you send our way is tax deductible. Well, as we conclude our time today, we thank you for joining us. Trust we'll see you again tomorrow as we find ourselves in studio with Pastor Chris once again. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.